Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for a vacationing Brian Lehrer. You might not know it from the weather, but we're getting to the end of August. School will be starting soon, and with it the question, what did you do on your summer vacation? Chances are, if you're a teenager, your answer does not involve a summer job. Does missing out on learning the best technique for flipping burgers or bagging groceries represent a loss of a traditional rite of passage? Or does it free teens to focus on tasks that might look better on a college application? Kay Heimowitz weighed in on this in the Wall Street Journal recently, and she'll talk about her views, and we'll take your calls. Teenagers, parents, what happened to the summer job, and why? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on The Brian Lehrer Show. Kay Heimowitz, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Amy.
So how far back in the mists of time does the teen summer job and summer vacation go?
Well, really not all that far. We think of the summer vacation as being written into the founding documents,
right?
But it's not. Early on, you needed kids to be available for planting season and harvesting season. That was not the summer.
Right.
It used to be that schools were in rural areas were out actually in the spring and the fall for those seasons. But long around the late 19th, early 20th century, things began to change. People began to be worried. As the country became more urbanized, people were more worried about ventilation issues and heat in the schools. And there were compulsory education laws, which means everybody had to go to school, and child labor laws, meaning you weren't allowed to work. So that changed the whole orientation towards schooling as well, and also within a growing middle class, more people able to go on summer vacations to the summer cottage, to lakeside resort, or that kind of thing. We saw the rise of the summer vacation, and a lot of times families needed their kids to be making money. Kids wanted to be making money, and so they began to take jobs often in summer service areas. So, for instance, at amusement parks or at the burger stand or that kind of thing. And what I argue in my piece in the Wall Street Journal is that that kind of experience is growing a little weaker in the lives of middle-class kids today.
What are the statistics for teen employment?
Well, it's about 35% of kids have a job at some point during the year. That used to be around 50% in the late 70s. So there has been a decline.
Now, is that adjusted seasonally? Do we see a spike seasonally? Or?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think that the statistics disaggregate that information very well. So I don't have good stats on that for you. But by anecdotal report, it certainly seems as if kids are working less in these menial jobs. And I've been interested to see some of the response to my article, because there's quite a disagreement about whether this is a worthwhile summer activity or not.
If there is it just summer jobs or any job? I mean, I guess one could argue, is it worthwhile to flip burgers? Are teenagers getting better jobs?
Well, there is the rise of the summer internship, and that was actually the inspiration for my piece. Is that a editor I know was complaining about some of her summer interns, and that set us thinking about this issue. The internship is an unpaid, not always, unpaid job that kids in mostly in college, but now increasingly in high school, get at businesses or nonprofits, and they help out during those during the summer season. And the generally those jobs are advertised as being educational. They're supposed to be more real world experience. Increasingly, you're seeing colleges are giving college credit for that kind of experience. And in fact, as I mentioned in my piece, I was shocked when we found out that we had to pay my daughter's college in order for her to work as an intern at a teen magazine.
How so?
Well,
doesn't she get credit for this?
Well, yes, she does. She gets minimal credit, but she does get credit, and it's the only way that the companies can hire kids for free without worrying about labor laws.
Uh-huh.
If they can say, "Well, this was educational, so we didn't have to pay the intern," so that's a kind of ugly underside to this internship story. It means, of course, that kids from more modest homes cannot. Modest earning homes cannot take internships, or a lot of them that are available.
But how did you have to pay then for this if the company was ostensibly paying for these credits?
The company wasn't paying for the credits. I had to pay for the credit. In other words, I'm paying for the school.
You paid for the class, the quote unquote class.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Her class was showing up at this
job in which she was basically fetching dresses and helping to find shoes. It was a teen fashion magazine. So in my mind, that's not exactly real life experience.
So if we're seeing a decline in teens taking jobs, is there any federal statistic about a rise in internships? Are they moving to more internships, or are they just not doing anything?
As far as I know, there's no federal survey on internships. You see, some of the employment agencies or employment companies do some studies. There's a company called Vault, which has some information on this, and they say that about 84% of college students will have an internship at some point. Now, that I have no problem, by the way, with kids getting an internship when they're in college or even high school, depending on it. What I really wanted to show in my piece is that there's something lost if you don't have that kind of menial summer job experience, largely because you're not brought into contact with people less like yourself. And again, I'm speaking of middle and upper middle class kids here. The menial job was really inherently democratizing, I believe, and put you in the same boat as kids from less well-to-do homes, in which you had to learn how the other half lives.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC 93.9 and AM 820 and online at WNYC.org. I'm Amy Edding, sitting in for Brian Lehrer, who is on his summer vacation. I'm speaking with Kay Heimowitz of the Manhattan Institute about teens and summer jobs. We have a link to her Wall Street Journal essay on our website, WNYC.org. And we're taking your calls about summer jobs. Parents, did you urge your child to get a summer job or choose an internship instead? Are you hoping they don't work and maybe use the summertime to take piano lessons or athletic classes in order to pump up their eventual college application? Teens, are you working this summer? If not, why not? Give us a call at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Kay, you mentioned that some students or some teens are using the summer for something other than employment. Explain what options you found and what other options people are doing in summer besides working and loafing.
Right. Well, increasingly, I think you see among, again, middle and upper middle class kids a desire to pump up that or flesh out that resume, for college resume and eventually the job resume. So a lot of kids are spending their summers in going to camp where they might learn computer skills, language skills. They're going to soccer camp or diving camp or swimming camp in order to become more professional in their athletics so that they can get on the right team in high school, which will then put them in a better position to be sought after by the college coach.
Is it really that thought out, though, or is it just a change in middle-class values?
Well, I think the value is education. In other words, it is absolutely, it is a change in values. But what is the value? The value is to get ahead as much as you can and to put a lot of the child's extracurriculars and their energy into making that future look brighter, making the opportunity for, let's say, an Ivy League school or a selective college that much more hopeful.
We're going to take a call. Bernard from Westport, Connecticut, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi. As you said, I live in Westport, and I have two daughters. One is actually in college, is entering her sophomore year, and the other daughter who's a junior in high school. And Westport is, I guess you consider it a middle class or upper middle class town. And it seems to me that a lot of your guests' observations are more based on anecdotal evidence than any type of, I think she said, even there's no real statistical data, because in the town I live in, most of the kids, including my daughters, in summers worked at what you would consider, I wouldn't say menial jobs, but the jobs you're talking about. My younger daughter scoops ice cream at a Baskin Robbins, and my older daughter, when she was in high school, worked at Balducci's as a cashier. And most of their friends did similar jobs because they wanted to earn money and they wanted to be able to, whether it was buy a car or whatever they needed to do with the money. So it seems to me that although they both had opportunities to work as, and I know this for a fact, they had opportunities to work as interns in non-paying jobs, they felt that it was important to go out there and work and have a job where they had to effectively punch a clock and earn a certain amount per hour and understand what it's involved in working for a boss and having the responsibilities that you have when you work in a corporation.
Bernard,
so go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to thank you for your call and say to Kay, I know that you had mentioned earlier that we do have hard statistics showing that summer employment has declined.
Well, that paid employment.
Yes, paid employment has declined. But I'm wondering if Bernard has a point here. Are we seeing this across all classes? You mentioned in your article that a lot of adults have taken on the role of working at the counter at McDonald's. I certainly see that when I'm here in New York City, but when I go home to Ohio, I see a lot of teenagers working those counters. I'm wondering if that's different from, here in New York City versus other communities across the United States.
Well, I do think it does vary from community to community, and I'm interested that Bernard was calling from Westport, which is something of a summer resort. It's also, an exurban commuting town as well. But I'm speaking to you from Shelter Island, which is a summer resort, and you do see a lot of kids working here as well. I also heard from a friend of mine after I wrote my piece who lives on Martha's Vineyard and said the same thing. The kids there are working these kinds of jobs. They're working at the country club, the golf club, or in the scooping ice cream, as Bernard said. So I think that there is a tradition more in these resort areas. Number one, there are not as many immigrants around to take these jobs, and people who need workers are going to be more inclined to probably maybe even pay a little better than they would elsewhere for teen workers. But at any rate, that tradition, I think, is more set in resort areas. I think that's quite true, and Bernard is correct about that.
He also mentioned this idea of learning the value of showing up, punching a time clock, taking orders from somebody. Is there a value to this kind of work? I know welfare to work advocates say that there is. It's why, but there's also been a trend toward trying to get people into higher paying jobs, more living wage jobs. Is there anything of value in? Does the middle class believe there is anything of value in these sorts of jobs? Or is there a value more toward the internships, and what's the difference?
Well, my own reading of the situation is there's been this cultural shift that you alluded to before in middle class values towards more clear educational value for children's activities. You want to see your kids doing things that will be expanding their mental acuity and their rather than their life experience. And I think that's the focus. So
right, but is your daughter? You mentioned your daughter's internship is fetching dresses at a teen fashion magazine. Any less menial than making a Whopper?
No, as it turns out, it is not. I totally agree with that. And to get back to your point that about the self-discipline and punching a clock and all of that. Look, I am not one of those people who feels that this generation needs to learn to, you know, to work hard and they don't have the work ethic. You know, on the contrary, I think this is a generation that has a very strong work ethic. They are growing up in a globalized world, and they are learned very early on via their parents that they are going to have to work to get ahead, that it's not going to come easily. So I don't really see that that's the issue, that these kids are not working hard enough. I think, you know, as I said before, for me the major issue is that we are living in a much more socially stratified world, I think, than we have in the past. And a lot of kids who are going to selective colleges, most kids who are going to selective colleges are not meeting kids who are not from middle or upper middle class homes. That's the world that they are going to be in for the 4 years that they're in college, and when they get out of college, they're going to go in a workplace where people are very similar to them as well. So in a way, I'm making a kind of diversity argument, that the summer job, the menial summer job, puts you in contact with people that you otherwise are not meeting.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC 93.9 FM and AM 820, and on the web at WNYC.org. I'm Amy Eddings in for Brian Lehrer. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692 for Kay Heimowitz, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, who wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal about the decline of the summer job. Megan from New City, you're on WNYC.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling in because I was listening to you on the radio, and it kind of struck a chord with me. I'm a recent college graduate. I graduated in 2006, and I recently just spent a year out in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, skiing and waitressing. And I, in college, spent my summers lifeguarding, and through high school, worked at a bakery, and done all sorts of different kinds of, I guess, what we're calling menial jobs. I feel like I've learned a ton from the experience I've had, but I feel very... I feel like it's difficult to market myself on today's job market because my resume doesn't compare with other students who've done unpaid internships. And the jobs that I'm looking at now as a recent college graduate are very low level and often low paying or even on a level of internship in order to get my foot in the door, which is difficult because I do have loans and, you know, I'm looking towards trying to be off on my own. So it's been difficult as a person who has not done the internship route.
Kay Heimowitz, thank you, Megan, for your call, and I empathize. I went through college just working food service jobs, and once I graduated, I really didn't know where to take all that experience and my vast liberal arts knowledge. Kay Heimowitz, are we finding that the job market itself is making it harder for people to harder for recent grads to advance without internships?
Well, I think so. I think that the competition is very stiff, and if you are looking at two different candidates for a job, and one of them has had some experience in your field, and the other has not, which one are you going to choose? You're probably going to look at the one who did the waitressing, as Megan did, and say, well, what good is that to me? In fact, I think what Megan is implying, and I would quite agree, is that sometimes there are life experiences which make you a fuller, richer, and smarter person, even though they don't look to be, even those experiences don't look exactly on par with the kind of job that you're trying to apply for.
Well, I'm sort of the Richard Bowles, what color is your parachute philosophy, which is that anything that you do gives you a skill. You just have to recognize that and sell it in the right way to your future employer. But you're saying that that's, first of all, I don't think that's a skill that students are taught.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that we are living in a very specialized economy, you know, where jobs are becoming much more precise, specialized, and everybody is trying to, find ways to sell themselves as somebody who can fit into that job. And as we're saying, you know, waitressing or working at the, usher at an amusement park or, you know, operating a tractor or something like that just isn't going to do it.
We're going to take another call, but I want to get the role of money here. We're talking about experience. We're talking about college applications and resumes. But what about money? I worked at McDonald's to get some money in my pocket. Do kids not need money as much anymore? Their own money? Are their parents subsidizing their summer vacations more freely than, say, mine did?
It certainly appears that way. Neil Howe, who has studied this generation and dubbed the term millennials to describe the people, I guess, under about 22, feels that this generation of parents is quite easy about giving their kids money, and kids are very happy to take it. And it's certainly been my experience. I have three kids, and my youngest and oldest are 10 years apart. And certainly what I've seen in that 10 years is much more lavishness in the way children are being raised, much more sense that if they want to eat out three nights in a row, that's fine. Give them the money to do it. Obviously not everybody can afford that, and obviously not all parents are doing that. But I think there is a tendency to do what previous generations of parents might have thought of as spoiling. That's becoming kind of commonplace, I think, these days. Whether we want to call it spoiling or something else is another question.
We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. That's 433-WNYC. Diane in Nyack, you're on WNYC.
Yes, I have a 16-year-old son who in earnest went out to try and find a part-time summer job and couldn't find anybody willing to hire a 16-year-old without a specific skill like lifeguard. He wound up working for his father for a couple of weeks to make money. The other side of it is that I teach at a SUNY in the summer, and I'm continuously surprised how many high school students wind up in my college literature classes in order to take a course on a college level that will look good on a resume. And, you know, when I went to college in the 70s, you didn't need a resume. So these kids are under so much pressure to excel at something, and at the same time, they're just as old as they are. 16 is 16. And my son did not find, you know, the limited area of work that he could even look at or go into. He just did not find a kind of openness or need. People were friendly, but there were no jobs.
Diane, thank you.
That's my comment.
Diane, thank you very much for that. Kay Heimowitz, have you talked to any business owners about this? Are you seeing the same phenomenon that they're looking at a 16-year-old and saying, sorry, kid, you're too green?
No, you know, I haven't talked to business owners, but I certainly have heard this story before. And what seems to be happening, and this is kind of obvious, I think, for anybody who has their eyes open, is that with the low-skilled immigration, the numbers of low-skilled immigrants in the country now, you really don't need teenagers as much as you used to. I mean, if you were operating a diner somewhere, you didn't have a choice about who you were going to take. You took whoever came in the door to be your busboy. That is just not a problem so much anymore, and a lot of industries that used to have to rely on kids, and hire them for a few months here, a few months there, or a year here, or a year there, now have a more quasi-professionalized workforce, and I use that term just to mean that they're more quasi-permanent, I suppose, is the word that I really want to use, available to them. So I do think it is harder for kids in certain areas of the country to find jobs. As I mentioned before, that's not the case so much in resort areas where these kinds of jobs are still pretty easy to find.
You point out in your essay in the Wall Street Journal, you think it's globalization that has led to the decline of the teenage workforce. You mentioned immigrants. Are there other factors at work?
Sure. This sense of having to get ahead, of having to excel, of having to develop this resume, that's also a product of globalization. These kids are competing for the best jobs, and they're not just competing against each other anymore. It is a much more dynamic, varied economy out there, and I think parents who are pushing their kids to go to language camp or to go to swim camp or to build up that resume are responding to something very real, which is that it is a much more competitive environment out there, and it's not just a matter of having the right connections, although that helps.
Does assigning the blame to globalization take away personal responsibility for it, that it's not the parents or the kids' fault?
Oh, I'm not. It's not a matter of blame here. I think that people go overboard when they see social changes, and there's no question that I've seen a lot of parents who I think are not thinking about their kids in the broadest sense and real life experience. But as I said, they're responding to a real change, and it's somewhat understandable.
We'll leave it there. This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC Radio. I'm Amy Eddings. I've been speaking with Kay Heimowitz about teenagers and summer jobs. Kay Heimowitz's most recent book is Marriage and Caste in America, Separate and Unequal Families in a Postmarital Age. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Amy.
Up next, we'll talk about recycling and schools. Stay with us.